Welcome back to Brief and Not So Brief. I'm Seth.
I'm Ethan.
And this time, we're just doing a grab bag of movies. So, well, here's the thing, right? We've got John Wick coming up, John Wick 3. Mm-hmm. We've got Brightburn coming up. And so I had the idea, let's do some kind of superhero-ish movies leading up to Brightburn. But then your mom went out of town and we thought, hey, let's watch some movies that mom wouldn't want to be in the house for. So we've got a couple of those and a superhero-ish one. And so I think every now and then we're just going to do one like this where it's like, let's talk about some movies that we've seen recently. So movies that we have watched recently include Chronicle, Upgrade, and Tropic Thunder. So you tell me, anybody listening to this, what is the theme that we're talking about here? We had talked about a couple things, like maybe movies that are better than advertised.
Yeah, I was throwing that idea out there just because I remember we saw the trailer for Upgrade back in the day, and I was like, that looks like one of those awesome action movies that was going to be really crappy but kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then I never saw the advertisement for Chuck Thunder because I was just too young.
Yeah.
And then Chronicle, I wasn't too young. I just didn't really care at that point.
You were too young for that movie.
I was too young for the movie, but I remembered the advertisements. Gotcha. I remember people talking about it. And I just was like, eh, whatever. So the only thing I remember is seeing the trailers for Upgrade. I was like, well, it looks like discount Tom Hardy. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I heard everyone saying. I was like, and it's kind of true, but they definitely all were solid or really entertaining, mm-hmm. or, you know, definitely not something we expected to see from what was advertised,
right?
Which was one of the themes that we had possibly discussed.
Yeah. So how about we just talk about these in the order in which we watched them?
Chronicle first. Yeah.
So Vital Statistics on this one came out in 2012, directed by Josh Trank, who later went on to direct Fanforstic.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's one of the reasons that I was optimistic about that movie. So starring in the movie is Dane DeHaan. Mm-hmm.
Michael B. Jordan
and Alex Russell, who, you know, the fact is it's kind of starring nobody, right?
Because it's like all three of them pretty equally for most of the movie.
Well, no, just the fact that there were no real big names in the movie.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah. Now Michael B. Jordan is one of the biggest actors, period.
Yeah.
He's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dane DeHaan has had a pretty
good... He's done a lot of stuff, but like he's been in some pretty bad stuff as well, so I feel like that's why he hasn't, you know, gotten that.
Yeah, but Michael B. Jordan wasn't yet Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, yeah, then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another guy, I haven't seen anything else.
No, I haven't either.
He was great though.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the thing. I mean, like, I saw this movie in the theater with your Uncle Ed when they were here visiting. And I knew who Michael B. Jordan was from Friday Night Lights, which your mom and I had watched.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was it. That was the only thing. He was the only person that I knew at all in the movie.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just kind of interesting. And if we hold this one up in the movies that shouldn't have worked, you know, here you have, I mean, I don't know Josh Trank from Adam. I don't know. I'm not sure I'd seen any of his other films. It's found footage and it's got, you know, it's starring pretty unknown actors. So,
and it's,
there's a lot working against it, and it's pretty moderate budget too.
Yeah. I mean, the nature of a found footage film is going to be like, it's supposed to look like it's low budget because it's supposed to look like a film that's found, mm-hmm. which is the essence of its name. But then also like the concept of just these teenagers getting some powers, it's not this big earth shattering concept.
Right.
It's just what they did with it was really unique, and mm-hmm. I really liked it.
Yeah. So continuing on the Vital Statistics, the budget was $12 million and it did $127 million of business. So, mm-hmm. you know, made 10 times its budget. That's really, really good.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, 85%, 75%. So 80 critics, users, you know, so mm-hmm.
both equally,
pretty well regarded.
Pretty equally liked it.
By both, yeah. 7.1 on IMDb. So
IMDb is usually pretty tough. Mm-hmm. And so if you get like an 8 near that, like you're usually doing pretty good.
I feel like a 7 is okay. That's like a quality movie.
Yeah. And also like if you look at movies that are usually in the high 80s, low 90s, sometimes high 90s, they're not getting past that 9 very well. Like that IMDb is pretty tough on those ratings. So it's pretty impressive that I got that high.
Yeah. So you hadn't seen this one before. So, you know, what'd you think?
I was a little, I didn't want to watch it.
Right.
I was just kind of like, no, I'm not interested in seeing this. I'm just going to be some boring thing just because the only Dane DeHaan exposure I've gotten is Peter. I'm dying from Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Right.
And so I was like, I'm not interested in this. And so I started out and it was a lot. It was an exposition, but like you have to get to know the characters. I was like, okay, right. I'll stick through it. So watched a little bit of it. And then after like the first half hour, I was like, okay, this is really interesting. I like what they're doing with how fast they got to, like, all right, these guys have powers. We're getting them started off quick.
Right.
And the unique thing about it was kind of like bringing three people together who normally wouldn't be together if they didn't have powers.
Right.
Which I think is interesting because it's also a high school based film. And so it's something you can kind of relate to. It's like, oh, you know, if you had two people you didn't talk to, but you had powers, like you'd hang out all the time and like just goof around and do silly stuff. You know, like it's not this whole, oh, I have to save the world thing. It's like, oh, I have powers. I'm going to do some cool stuff that I can post on the internet and get famous. Like it's basically what happens. Well, not basically what happens, but that is part of it where they start recording themselves and having fun with it, which I think is pretty realistic.
Found footage is always at the mercy of kind of the why were they filming? And it establishes really early on that the Dane DeHaan character is a loner, kind of a loser, you know, outcast. His dad knocks him around, you know, so he's got an unhappy
and his mom's family sick. Life.
Yeah, his mom's dying. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of almost like he's filming as a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. And so from that perspective, it makes you believe, okay, I can see why he would be, you know, filming all the time.
Just because he's just trying to be like, get him to do something. Because he knows if he's not doing something, then he's like, there's scenes where he's in his room. Mm-hmm. And if he's just sitting there, his dad will come in and like, why aren't you, you know, doing your homework or, you know, something like that. I feel like that happened at some point. I'm totally wrong. But he comes in and like hits him. And there's a couple scenes that I think kind of solidify your the emotion you feel for him. You sympathize with him, which I think is one of the most important parts about creating a good protagonist.
Yeah. So then the Alex Russell character, I guess I should know the names of the characters, but I don't. we watched this one a few weeks ago. But he's his cousin. And so it's kind of like he's
forced to.
Yeah, he's got a, he's, yeah, kind of forced to hang out with him. And just, it's kind of one of those things where you're like, yeah, he's my friend. He's kind of a weirdo, but he is my friend, you know? He's got that family relationship there as well. And then Michael B. Jordan's character is, you know,
just the popular,
the stud at the school.
But right? He's also like super nice to everyone.
Yeah. And he's, so like, this is the interesting thing is he's not a douche. He seems like a really genuine guy, really affable. And so he's kind of quick to make friends with these guys. And the fact of them all getting powers is part of that as well. But the cool thing is the fact that the power manifests itself as telekinesis and then gets used in those forms, you know, to allow them to levitate themselves and protect themselves from injury. Allows some interesting camera work because it doesn't always have to be handheld, right?
Yeah. He like has it follow around in third person kind of.
Yeah. And so that's really cool. And then eventually they mix it together with some
security cameras, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
I liked how they did that because it goes silent when it goes to security cam, which makes you really feel like you're just seeing this through video footage of either like YouTube videos or you're seeing news footage like, oh, check out the security cam footage of like, you know, this crime or something like that. It feels like you're already, it's like you're in a normal movie, you're observing, but in this, it's like you're observing the observing in a sense, just because it's like a whole other step back, which makes it interesting.
Yeah. The other cool thing I think is the fact that the three of them kind of manifest the powers differently, where Dane DeHaan's character is the weakest of them, but he's the strongest in terms of the powers.
He's like the most natural to pick stuff up.
Well, but he's not the most intuitive with it because like it shows that Michael B. Jordan
is the first one to fly.
Yeah, he's the first one to fly. So he's kind of the first one, the experimental one. And then Alex Russell is kind of the middle between there, where he's not the guy to come up with it. He's not the guy who's the strongest at it. He's just kind of
he's good at it, but he has to watch others do it before he can do it.
Well, and he's reluctant to use it too. That's the other thing, because he's the one who is seen expressing, you know, we have to have rules about this. You know, we have to put a code around how we actually use these powers.
Yeah.
So,
and then Dane DeHaan's character kind of like sees someone do it, does it, makes it better. And it,
right.
Makes them kind of like,
well, and his fine control is
Like he can,
it shows him putting Legos together.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I really enjoy this movie. It's, I mean, found footage makes it kind of hard to watch because it's shaky in places. But I find the story very compelling and very believable. Mm-hmm. The way this outcast kid gets a little bit of power and becomes suspicious of people. And so, you know, there's a scene where he accidentally shoves the car off the road, right? He's too powerful and he doesn't have the control there, or, well, he doesn't restrain himself the way he should. And that causes some friction, right?
Yeah.
And then he's suspicious of, I think his name is Eric, Michael B. Jordan's character, being friends with him, right? You know, you never cared about us before. And you can see that, you know, Michael B. Jordan's character is genuinely, like, he has genuine affection for these guys. Mm-hmm. But Dane DeHaan's character can't accept that.
Yeah.
He's too suspicious.
I think
it's because he's abused.
Yeah. The other thing besides for, like, a great script and writing and, like, the relatable characters and the way they talk to each other is that it's really funny.
It is, yeah.
And so
when they're at that mall messing with people.
Or, like, the mall and then go into the store with the shopping carts out in the parking lot.
Right.
Good stuff. It's just another whole, like, you know, what would you do if you had these powers? Like,
right.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, no, there's no way I'll go with my eight group of guys and just go screw around and have fun with it.
Right.
Like, yes, I would.
Yes.
But you don't want to admit it. But these guys, like, you can clearly see it's pretty much what you do.
Yeah.
So it's fun to watch just because it makes you want powers, just like you always want powers in superhero movies.
Right.
But this is just like on a different level. It's just, it's not the same, but it's different, but it's also really cool.
The other thing I think that makes this one work really well is that the three leads are really, really good. Mm-hmm. Like they all portray their characters really, really well. So yeah, it's a recommendation from me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You want to move on?
Sure.
Okay. Upgrade. It's the most recent of the movies because it's from 2018. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, we saw the trailers for it and we're like, oh, that looks interesting, you know, because it showed some of the camera work. Mm-hmm. I guess we weren't going to go see it because it was a hard R. I knew it was a hard R.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of flew outside my radar. And I had seen a couple people talking about the movie at some point saying, this is a lot better than you probably think.
I saw a lot of people putting that on their, like review channels would do top 10 favorite movies of 2018. Mm-hmm. Was it 2018, 2017?
2018.
Yeah, 2018. Mm-hmm. And that was like top five.
Yeah.
Most of the time, because they're like, this isn't like better than Infinity War in like scales of being a good movie. Cause like that was a lot of popular choices was that movie, but they're like, this is entertaining as heck.
Yeah.
And so it's like a Mission Impossible Fallout, kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Super entertaining. And that's why it gets a lot of people's on a lot of people's radar. So we didn't see it in theaters, like you said. And then when we saw a lot of people talking about it, we're like, hey, maybe we should check this out.
Yeah.
And so we decided to pick it up.
Yes.
And I enjoyed myself the entire time.
Yes. Content warning, it is a hard R for violence.
Yes.
The thing I love about it, and this is where the statistics come in, right? It's only like a $5 million movie. I couldn't find actual statistics on what the budget was. It's between $3 and $5 million. It looks terrific. I mean, like there's not a lot of exterior shots and there's effects shots, but they tend to be more practical.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when,
there's three big major fights that happen.
Right.
And they're each of them, like there's like obviously little fights where he has to kill some guys, but there's these ones where he's one-on-one with someone and it is absurd.
Yeah.
I think it's more than three, but like the ones I'm thinking of. Is he gets this? Should we go over like what happens? Look like we still like, understand? Because
sure. I mean, if you don't know by now, we tend to spoil things. So we're recommending if you're okay with a hard R for violence, definitely check this one out. It's not as violent as like Dread.
Well, that was just a ton of gross, gory. But this is a very gross couple of them.
Concentrated. Yeah.
Yes. So, like I was saying, that there's like three or four scenes in the first one, I knew it was going to be hard R, but like it shocked. Like I laughed because I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because he goes in and is trying to basically get at the people who murder his wife now that he can walk, and he just wants to get revenge. Because it shows early on, even when he's in his wheelchair, he goes to the police precinct. He's like, hey, is there anything I can do to help out? Have you guys found anyone? And so now that he has this ability to walk again, he's like, all right, I got to do something about this. So he finds this guy as he's been going kind of down the line, like, oh, I need to find this person who can lead me to this person, like a typical crime investigation. And so he finds this guy and he starts fighting him, and Stem, this thing that enables him to walk, starts talking to him. He's like, you know, I can take over if you want me to.
Right.
And he's like, what? You know, what's this? And so he's finally like, okay, whatever, take over, and just obliterates him. Yeah. The camera work is so interesting because I've never seen it, because it basically stays vertical with his body no matter where he goes, because there's a lot of movement.
Right.
And so he ends up like getting this kitchen knife and just goes through his jaw all the way through the back.
Yeah.
And
it's just grim.
Yeah. It's awesome though. It is hilariously awesome.
Yeah. And like you said, the camera work is interesting. Like when he was laying on the floor and then he popped straight up, you know, stiff as a board, the camera came up with him. And then every time he'd move, the camera would kind of duck to the sides. And so it made it a really, really interesting experience in terms of the direction.
Yeah. The other interesting thing is what they would do is the first time you really see him walk, he like kind of shifts from right to left and the camera shifts with his shoulders right to left. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I recognize, like, oh, this is the camera work I've heard of. Mm-hmm. And so then once it gets to the action scenes, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I really like what they did there. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's a good performance. I mean, Logan Marshall Green is kind of the only name actor, I guess, in this. I don't remember there being anybody else in there that I recognize except for the, lady from Get Out.
The police detective.
Yeah. I didn't know her name and I don't know it now either. The director is somebody named Lee Wannell or Wannell?
Lee Wannell.
Wannell?
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said before, it only had like a $5 million budget and it made like $16 million. It's not like it was a huge success, but I don't think it had a super wide release. Interestingly, the Rotten Tomatoes is dead even at 87% for critics and fans.
Really solid.
Yeah. So this one is definitely not underrated, right?
It was just underseen.
Underseen, I think, probably, yeah. And then 7.6 on IMDb, which is really good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like also the fact that it's pretty short running time. I don't think it was more than 100 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, it was probably around
like hour 40. And, I mean, the fact is, the story isn't anything new, right? Mm-hmm. Guy loses family and goes for revenge, right? We saw that with Cold Pursuit, right?
Yeah.
But the direction is really interesting, and some of the plot is interesting. And I don't actually want to spoil some of the plot, so we'll leave that one and just say if you're okay with absurdly gory violence in very concentrated doses, you might want to give this one a check.
Yeah,
for
sure.
Okay, Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, this is
this one doesn't fit neatly into any category because I mean it was on there, like your mom and I watched this one, so it's not like, you know, her being here would have been a big deal or anything. We were going to watch Overlord. That would have been more like a super violent one that she wouldn't want to see, but yeah, it's an interesting film. This one's from 2008, directed by Ben Stiller, starring everybody.
No, so this is an insane cast.
Yeah.
I did not realize how many people are actually in this.
Because it's got Robert Downey Jr., it's got Ben Stiller, Jack Black.
Bill Hader.
Right. Tom Cruise. I don't know the name of the guy who played Al Pacino.
Yeah.
I've seen him in several things, but I can't come up with his name at the moment.
Baruchel. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And Tom Cruise.
You said Tom Cruise.
Oh, did I already say Tom Cruise? It's worth
saying him multiple times, because goodness.
I mean, the movie is worth it just for the Les Grossman scenes.
And it's literally like 10 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
It's not very much, but it is incredible.
Yeah. So here's the thing. In a lot of ways, I think this movie is an absolute masterpiece. Because it's well-directed. It's really interesting when you think about it in the meta perspective. There was a lot of controversy about it because of the scene where the R word comes up repeatedly. And I mean, they lean hard into that. From Robert Downey Jr. Not blackface, it's not the same as like the jazz singer or like the Holiday Inn, but playing an African-American character. But the fact is that in all of that, when you think about what they're doing in the movie, is they're really sending up all of Hollywood, everything about actors and how actors get kind of self-important about the fact, well, they, you know, they did 10 days of boot camp and now they feel like they're really soldiers, you know, and getting lost in roles. And like, there's that scene with the R word where they're talking about, you know, I really felt like I was mentally disabled, you know, and you're like, did you though? And do you really get into that experience? And it's just it's a completely scathing critique of Hollywood and everything about Hollywood. And I just love that aspect of it.
Yeah. I think it's interesting just because most of the stuff in this movie would not fly now.
No, I don't think so. It didn't really fly then.
But like, especially now, lot more sensitivity, a lot more topics that just are kind of frowned upon now.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about how that would have been perceived now, because there's definitely a smaller amount of movies that have critique or have that cover hard topics. And even like movies that cover very subtle things get like called out really hard and are bashed. And for this, it just puts it all out there.
Right.
And so I think that's something that's really interesting, actually.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the Robert Downey Jr. thing, because we're white people, you know, this is not something, this is something that I feel like if somebody is passionate about that and thinks that is an absolute no-go, I cannot support this movie, I totally get it. And I can't argue against it. I just feel like, I mean, now I'm going to proceed to argue against it, but I'm not really. In the movie, though, the movie itself kind of gives you a way to go, okay, I see what they did there. Because it actually has the other actor, the actual black actor in there, saying, pointing out that here this white guy took the meatiest role for a black guy. And that's very, very topical in terms of whitewashing and the kind of stuff that we've seen since that movie came out. I feel like it's kind of prescient in that, because there was all the Oscars so white thing and just Hollywood whitewashing, right? There's a glorious history, not a glorious history, it's awful, of casting John Wayne as Genghis Khan, you know, and Mickey Rooney as a Japanese character, you know. This movie is making fun of that tendency. It's not saying that it's a good thing. It's not presenting what the character in the movie did as a good thing. And it's called out. And I love that part, you know, when somebody says, you people, and Robert Downey Jr.'s, you know, what do you mean, you people?
I don't believe you people.
Huh? What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Huh? I think now that's more of the serious stuff, but we've got to talk about
Les Grossman.
Les Grossman.
I'm going to have to drop in the audio of
a particular scene. I knew this scene was coming because I had already seen like montages of him and I thought it was hilarious, but I knew it was coming and he hadn't seen this specific part yet. And so I was like, I don't know if you had remembered it or.
Yeah, I didn't remember everything about it.
And so the scene was coming up. I'm like, all right, he's about to laugh. So he started laughing, calmed down, laughed more, calmed down, and then just couldn't stop laughing. So I was like, all right, I got to take out my phone and record this. It was like a minute-long video of him laughing, but that was after another like 30 seconds. And
it was way longer than that, because we had stopped watching the movie. We were watching something else.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking of that scene.
Yeah, he just thought of it and just started laughing. And so
That's what we should do. We should drop in audio of me laughing.
Yeah.
Should have you send me that.
No, it's just great because it's just crazy to see Tom Cruise's range.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we were talking about the background to this movie and how Ben Stiller pitched, where it was like, hey, look at this script I wrote. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think? Sent it back, said, add this thing. And then Tom Cruise was like, all right, I got to play this guy, but I want big hands.
I want fat hands and I want to dance. I'll put that in the show notes. I'll put a link to that video.
Yeah. And so it's just awesome because, honestly, I didn't even realize that it was Tom Cruise when I had first heard or seen these clips, because he is very hairy, fat, and just like Tom Cruise's voice and mannerisms are pretty recognizable, and you can really see it in this if you pay attention. But the first scene has like a FaceTime call with this director, and this movie is kind of going down the drain. And it was like movies 10 days behind schedule, 7 days in. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, it's comedic in that sense. And he's just like, hey, someone got a, what was it?
He's like, where's the director?
Yeah.
All right. Well, who's a key grip?
Yeah, you key grip. Yeah.
Go over there, punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah. And so he goes over, punches him, and then another whole scene, which I think you'll drop in,
yeah,
ensues, that just had us on the floor.
Who is this guy?
Les, that's Fourleaf. Sergeant Fourleaf Tabak. I wrote the book.
Oh. You're a great American. This nation owes you a huge debt.
Now shut the f*** up and let me do my job.
Yes. And so there's very little Les Grossman in this movie, but then it goes over to a full scene with Matthew McConaughey, Tom Cruise, Bill Hader at the...
In the studio.
In the studio. So, you know, Matthew McConaughey walks in with this contract that he wants for Ben Stiller's character, and you get full Les just sitting there, you know, in his glory, and Matthew McConaughey gets this call, and Les just rings out the guy on the call with a series of just incredible insults.
Yes.
And derogatory terms. And it is hilarious.
Yes.
And so that part of the film I knew about already, but I still, was hilarious.
Yeah. Tom Cruise absolutely steals the movie. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody in it is really good. And Ben Stiller got himself into some really good shape for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's jacked.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr., to his credit, I mean, the fact is he's playing an uncomfortable role, right? But he is a complete chameleon in the way he actually puts on different mannerisms and a different voice. It must have shredded his voice.
Oh, yeah. No, he's someone who, I mean, he's known for a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we all know he's known for Iron Man and all that stuff. But I think he's...
See, you don't remember old Robert Downey Jr., back before,
yeah. From what I've been exposed to is, you know, I've only been exposed to a couple movies he's in, but
Iron Man Forward.
It's Iron Man Forward plus this is from the past. It's pretty much it. So it's just interesting to see what he's been in, and I think that, you know, he's never really won any major awards because has he?
I think he has.
Really? I mean, like, typically people don't win stuff for like superhero movies, which is what he is going to be known for probably for the rest of his life.
Well, and that's the thing, right? He was involved in movies a lot.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he was actually, I mean, he was nominated for Best Actor for playing Charlie Chaplin in a movie called Chaplin. And he was nominated for Tropic Thunder.
Really?
I did not realize that until I just looked it up. So that's kind of crazy. Wow. And he somehow won a Golden Globe for Sherlock Holmes, which I think is dreadful. I absolutely hate those movies, but that's just my opinion. Yeah. So anyhow, I mean, obviously content warning on this one, because there's some bloody violence in it. Although it's like, it's so over the top because it's supposed to be a set of a movie, that is kind of ridiculous. And, tons and tons of language.
Yeah.
And there's an early scene with Matthew McConaughey when he's looking at a dirty magazine, which I didn't remember. So sorry about that one. Right. Anything else to say about Tropic Thunder?
Well, you're a great American. This country owes you a huge debt.
Right. Right. So I guess that's about it for our grab bag episode. If you had to, like, if you were going to recommend one of these movies, which one would you do?
I would upgrade. I would recommend either Upgrade or Chronicle. It's not that I don't recommend Tropic Thunder. I think that Upgrade and Chronicle are just more interesting, and Upgrade's a shorter film, so you can get that over real quick. Chronicle is just something I just found really interesting because it's not an action film. It's more character driven, and it's something that I think a lot of people haven't seen.
Yeah.
I think that a lot more people need to see what Dane DeHaan can do when he's good, because he's pretty incredible in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of people who I've heard talk about this say, like, he's honestly award worthy in that, just because of what he does.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I would love to see him do another role like this, because I feel like the dark serious is probably where his head is at, but not dark serious and stupid in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Right.
Not Green Goblin.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, even though I think Tropic Thunder is...
It's a fine film.
Is almost amazing to me in a lot of ways. It does not have the same broad appeal.
It's other two just do. Not as entertaining, I think.
Right.
Sure. I think it's a more artsy, interesting film,
mm-hmm.
but for entertainment value and something that you're going to like, oh, what should I watch today? Mm-hmm. Like, just if you're sitting down for a while to watch a movie, you can watch Tropic Thunder. If you're sitting down, like, I want to just have some fun with my friends, mm-hmm. Upgrade or Chronicle.
Right.
I would honestly say Upgrade just because it's tons of fun.
Yeah.
And it's short.
Well, yeah. The thing I feel like about that one is that it was underseen and it's really, really good. And it was kind of shocking to me. I had heard some good things about it, but then we watched it and I'm like, sometimes, you know, like you hear people who are really into film and they're like, yeah, this movie is really, really good. And then I watch it and I'm like, okay, I can see why they said it was really good, but it wasn't that entertaining. Mm-hmm. And this one kind of manages to do both, where it's a really, really well-crafted film and it's really entertaining.
Yeah.
So,
and it's straightforward, but there are some twists and turns mm-hmm. in there.
Yeah.
And there's, I don't know why, but I love talking about like the best AI voices. Mm-hmm. And I love the voice of the AI.
Of STEM.
Of STEM.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
I agree.
And I just love how much it develops and how it kind of in the sense of how Dane DeHaan kind of got consumed by the power. He gets kind of consumed by this ability to let his body be take over. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you know, nothing's stopping me now. And so I think it's just kind of immediately it starts at a high point, goes down low, mm-hmm. goes up again as he's, you know, like really happy he can do this, and then goes back down again because it's kind of just a fall from where he was before. So mm-hmm. I think it's got a legit character arc.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. I think that'll about do it.
Yep.
All right. So thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry, it's been a few weeks since we released one of these. We are going to be doing an episode on John Wick, hopefully with a guest.
Yes. Maybe one or two. We shall see.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if we're going to do a whole group of your friends, we might have to prepare people for a decrease in audio quality because it'll need to be just with the digital recorder.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah. If it's just like me and one of my friends, we could probably just...
We can snake out another mic for him.
Yeah.
But if we go over four mics, if we go over four people, then we need to do something different.
Yeah. So we'll see, just because I've got a couple friends who like similar movies that we do. And so we'll see if we can get that on.
Yep.
And not only... We'll be seeing John Wick. We'll be seeing Brightburn soon, mm-hmm. which I think we're pretty excited for.
Yes.
Just because, I don't know, it looks a little scary.
It might be terrible.
It might be terrible. And I don't know, it's marketed as a horror movie, but I feel like every horror movie right now is marketed like that and ends up being a thriller. I kind of hope it's more thriller, but I also kind of hope it's disturbing because mm-hmm. that kid is terrifying.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious what's going to happen there. So yeah. we'll just see what we get to. We might do another grab bag. We might do... you know, a new series.
Yeah. Actually, kind of on the point of what we're going to do, I started a Patreon site for, it's patreon.com/Hugo's podcast. And it's kind of for all my podcasting endeavors. I kind of envisioned it as for the Hugo's There podcast, but, you know, since I've got three podcasts, any funds that come in are going to go to support any and all of those. The fact is, you know, I bought this digital recorder this year and it was several hundred dollars. So it'd be nice to be able to defray some of those costs. So if there's anybody out there and you want to support us, you can do that. I'll put the link in the show notes and I also already said it. But if you become a patron of me, essentially, I would love to take your suggestions or, you know, demands, patron demands of something that we should cover on Brief and Not So Brief. So either a couple of films on sort of a theme for a brief review or one film that we should do a not so brief. Obviously, I maintain the parental override where I'm like, I'm not sure I want to expose my son to that one. So, and you can follow us on social media. Twitter is @BriefNotSoBrief. So, all right. Thanks for doing this, Ethan.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I'm laughing at laughing.